Saban's word.
I am who it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can be who it says I can be.
And I will have what it says I can have.
Today,
I will hear the word of God.
I boldly declare
that my mind is alert.
My heart is receptive.
My ears are open.
And I better not go to sleep.
I'll never be the same.
In Jesus' name,
amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for life. Thank you for health. Thank you for strength. Thank you for your power. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives and through our lives. And as we've come in the name of Jesus, as we've gathered together, you said if there are two or three in the midst who are gathered in your name, you will be here. So we thank you for being here today. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do, and that is to transform this Logos word into a Rhema word so our hearts will burn to know what God would have us to do. And we thank you in advance, Father, for doing exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody say amen, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So let me warn you in advance today, you're going to get a mixture of Pastor Evan and Elder Evan. Okay. And if you don't know what that means, just when I start flowing, you'll figure it out. All right. So we're in a series called Noise Cancellation, and the whole purpose of this series is for us to hear God's voice better, and we're going to do that by reducing or removing any unnecessary noise, whether that noise is internal or external. And so last week our topic was hearing his will. Everybody say hearing his will. Hearing his will. And one of the key points that we made was in order for us to hear and know God's will, we must remove the thought of mystery and replace it with discovery, meaning that God doesn't want his will for our lives to be a mystery. But you and I must hunger and thirst enough so that we can discover what his will is. He doesn't want to keep his will a mystery, but we must be hungry enough and thirsty enough to discover what it is. Listen to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 in the King James Version. It says, wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what? What the will of the Lord is. God wants us to understand what his will is. In fact, that word understanding means to be able to put together. So God wants us to be able to put together what his will is. Listen to the ERV translation of that. He says, don't be foolish with your lives, but learn. Everybody say learn. But learn what the Lord wants you to do. Look at somebody next to you and say, you need to learn what the Lord wants you to do. I want you to notice that God's will is something we have to learn. It's not automatic. It's not just something that's going to happen. You and I must learn to discover what his will is. So today we're going to keep a focus. So if you're taking notes, in fact, if you need a copy of the notes, just raise your hand and our ushers will give you a copy if you didn't get one. But our lesson title today now is Knowing His Will. We're going from hearing His will to knowing His will. So I'm going to jump into the first point today, and that is God's will is attainable. It's attainable. It's something that you and I can attain. Psalm 143 verse 10 in the King James Version says, teach me to do thy will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Listen to it in the Amplified Version. Teach me to do your will. Watch this. So that I may do what? Please you, for you are my God. God's will is learned when we are taught. Many times people don't know because they weren't taught about it. And that's why I teach the word. And so the focus of today's message is to hopefully teach you how to discover God's will and know it for your life. But see, God can't teach you something you don't want to know. And for some reason, here comes Elder Evan. I'm telling, look at your neighbor and say, he's coming right now. He's coming right now. For some reason, as believers, we feel like obeying God is an option. Now, listen, although it's an option from a free will standpoint, it shouldn't be an option from a pleasing God standpoint. John chapter 8, verse 28 talks about Jesus, and he says, Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will understand that I am he. I don't do nothing on my own, but say only what the Father taught me. And then verse 29 says, and the one who has sent with is with me, he has not deserted me. Watch what Jesus says, for I always do what pleases him. And so everything we do as believers, Jesus had to do. See, the main difference between Jesus and the main difference between us and him is that he was born divine. You say, well, what does that mean? He was born, watch this, and did not have sin in his bloodstream like we were born. The Bible tells us we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So when you and I were born, the very fact that we have blood in our veins, that's where that sin part comes from. And that's why Jesus didn't have that. He didn't have that. And the thing about it is, he was still flesh and blood like us, though. He just didn't have sin in his bloodstream. Listen to Hebrews 2:14 in the New Living Translation. He says, because God's children are human beings made of what? Flesh and blood. The Son, who's Jesus, he also became what, church? Flesh and blood. For only, listen to this, this is good. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. So although Jesus was divine in flesh and blood like we are, that divine part of him still didn't stop him from sinning. That was a choice that he made. And that's what makes Jesus so powerful. You know why? He lived a perfect and obedient life mainly due to his love for God, the Father, and his love for us. So if you ever wonder, does somebody love me? Jesus loved you enough to suffer to live a perfect life. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. It says, though he was a son, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Jesus had to learn just like us. Listen to the Message translation. Though he was God's son, he learned trusting obedience by what he suffered, just as we do. But when it comes to us, the hindrance to learning, in my opinion, is us not doing what we already know to do. Say amen to that. So here's the question. Why would God give us next level instructions for our life? Why would he give us next level instructions for his will for our life when we're not taking action on what we already know? That's like you giving instructions to your children on what to do next, and they haven't done what you told them to do. Amen. You know, as a wife, you know that submission is something you ought to do. Just look at your neighbor and say, here come that man. He coming. No. Submission is something that you need to do. It's something that you're supposed to do. So here's the question. Why are you not doing it? Well, he ain't doing it, Pastor. He ain't loving me like Christ loved the church. So I will submit when he loved me like that. But see, here's the problem with God's responsibilities in our lives. It's not based on what somebody else does. Because when you get to heaven and you stand there, he's not going to be like, where your husband at? No, it's going to be you and Jesus, and you're going to have to explain why you gave that man the problems you gave him. But you want to change the lives of women. God's called you to the nations. I'm going to preach to the world. I'm going to change women's lives. But you can't even submit at the house. Let me change the subject because this is too hot. Let me change the subject. Let me change. Here's the unfortunate part. Because women in that area would be like, well, he ain't doing right. So when he do right, I'll do right. What you're saying is my husband controls my obedience to God. So let me change the subject because, yeah. Do you know why most people don't serve in their church? Ask me why. Say why, Pastor Edmund? Because they think it's optional. See, they think it's optional. Like, I don't have to do it. I can. It depends. If I got time, if I don't have time, if I feel like it, if I don't feel like it, you know, if they make me happy or not, you know, if they let me sing a lead, I'll do it, and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But that's not right. In fact, and then the people that do serve, they serve with a perspective that has been polluted with twisted thinking. So what do you mean by that? Because most people, just touch your neighbor and say, he talking about most, but not you. Most people who serve the church, they serve it for the church. When you really should be serving the church for Jesus. Yep. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatever you do, do that heartily as unto who? The Lord. And not to who? The men, I'm going to add, and not to the church. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward in your inheritance. Read this part with me. For you serve the Lord Christ. Who are you serving? You're serving him. So let's talk real quick, because there are two things that I'm going to talk about to help you and I know what God's will is better. And the reason I mentioned serving is because serving is the will of God. So let's talk about now some ways to receiving God's will for our life. And first of all, let me just say, there is no shortcut. I said this last week, but there is no shortcut to getting God's will. There is no spiritual QR code you can scan and it come back with what God wants to do in your life. It doesn't work like that. But there are some biblical ways that we can discover and know his will. So here's way number one. I'm only going to talk about two. Here's way number one, and that's through his word. And I keep pointing us to God's word, because if you don't know God's word for your life, you can't know God's will for your life. And you know what? Let me just be honest with you. Here come Elder Edmund. Here you come. If you don't know God's will for your life, it's either because you're not saved, and I'm going to help you at the end of the service. It's either because you're not saved, because in order to know God's will, you have to know the God of the will, and to know the God of the will, you have to have a connection with him, and that only comes through salvation through Jesus Christ. So if you don't know God's will, maybe you're not saved. Or here's a second reason, maybe you're too lazy to read and study. Look at your neighbor and say, are you lazy? Or maybe you're not applying what you already know. Or here's a hard one. Or maybe you don't know God's will because you have lowered the role of a pastor in your life to a motivational speaker. See, at the end of the day, church, there are five offices in Scripture that God has strategically designed to perfect you and grow you so you can be equipped to do God's will for your life. Amen. So let me read what these five positions and offices are so you won't think I'm making them up. Here's number one. This is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says, now these are the gifts. Everybody say gifts. Yes. Look at your neighbor and say, Pastor Evan is a gift. Now look at your other neighbor and say, treat him well, treat him well. He says, now these are the gifts that Christ gave to who? He gave them to the church. He did not give these gifts to the world. He said the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. And their responsibility is to do what? Equip God's people to do his what? Well, his work is his will. So these five people, God's designed them to equip you to do God's work or God's will. And then it says, and to build up the church, the body of Christ. You know what I didn't see in that verse? I didn't see Tony Robbins in that verse. I didn't see Oprah Winfrey in that verse. And I'm not trying to throw shade on them. But see, a lot of us, we don't read and study the word because we're learning how to do life by watching podcasts. Amen. We're watching reels to get the wheel. It don't work like that. So let me give you context on where I'm going, okay? Let me give you some context today. Because I love you. I'm smiling and I love everybody. So here's the context. I was a senior in college, and I had started confessing, and this is for those of you who are in college, or if you're watching me and you're in college right now. I started confessing before I graduated from college that I would have multiple job offers before I graduated. And eventually, I'm going to talk about why your life is raggedy, because it's because your tongue is raggedy. Because life and death is in the power of your tongue. So anyway, I was confessing, you know, that I was going to have multiple job offers before I graduated. And that's exactly what happened. I ended up with 3 job offers. And I had already interviewed with one. And so I was flying out to Dayton, Ohio, so that I could to go and interview for this second job opportunity. And so I was at my friend's house. His name was Steve. Hey, Steve, if you're watching me, good to see you, man. You know, I was at Steve's house, and Steve was getting ready because he was taking me to the airport. So while he was getting ready, I was just reading the word. Why waste time and just do nothing? Read the word. So I'm reading the word, and I ran across this scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. Listen what it says. It says, for the eyes of the Lord is running to and fro. It's running throughout the whole earth. And the reason he's going to and fro throughout the whole earth is that he wants to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. And the moment I read that verse, it jumped off the page at me, and God said to me, Eben, this job you're going to interview for, it's yours. I want you to take it. I said, okay. I'm not even there. I don't even know who else is going to interview. But what I do know is that the word that I just read came off the page, got highlighted, and God told me it was my job. Amen. Now, let me just back up a little bit, because although that verse I just read, the context of that verse is it's involving, when you read it, a prophet who was having a conversation with a king. Listen, God can highlight a verse or verses of scripture when you read it. Watch this. It to make it personal to you. See, that's what makes the word alive. That's why it says in Hebrews 4 that the word of God is quick and it's powerful. It's alive. See, the Bible is not a magazine. It's not a newspaper. That doesn't have life in it. All it has is information in it. But the word has life to it. So when you read it, God will use that word to come alive to what you need in your life at that time. But see, some of us, we treat the Bible like it's a book of suggestions. But it's really a book of commandments and principles. Say amen to that. So here it is. Although the odds of me getting that job were slim, because they really wanted a double minority. They wanted a female, and they wanted her to be, you know, of a like black or Hispanic or whatever it was. But see, I know what the Lord is telling me. And so I'll never forget, I'm sitting at lunch, you know, because we had to go through like, I think about 7 interviews. So I'm at lunch, and it's like 5 other candidates, maybe 6. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, this company done wasted all their money on all these people. They could have saved all that money. They done flew everybody down. They could have saved all that money that they spending at this lunch, because this is my job. And then watch this. And then they told us that it was going to take them about a month and some change to get back with us. Well, they got back to me in a week and said, would you like to have this job? What do you think I told them? Yes. Yep, I told them yeah. And watch this. It was actually the lowest paying job out of all 3 opportunities. And this is why you cannot, listen, touch your neighbor, say he's talking to somebody right now. You cannot decide on opportunities based on just the criteria alone. Because even though it was the lowest paying job, it ended up being the fastest accelerating paying job. So God's will can be known from reading his word. Here's number two. God's will can be known through the direction and the instructions of sent others. The direction and the instruction of sent others. And I know many of you may have heard the scripture or the verse I'm about to read, but here's the problem with a lot of us is that just because we've heard it doesn't mean we're doing it. See, it's so easy to fall prey to believing that just believing is enough. Really, believing alone is not enough, because faith without works is what? Hebrews 2 says, therefore, we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things we've heard. Why? Lest at any time we can let them slip. That's why you repeat what you say to your kids, because they forgot. You just told them 5 minutes ago, put the trash out. You come back in an hour, the trash is still there. What you got to do? You got to say it again. Listen to now the New Living Translation. He said, so we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. So I'm about to read a story, and here's the point of the story. I want to show you that this man named Saul discovered his will, God's will for his life, by God using somebody else to tell him. So watch this now. It says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, he went to the high priest and he asked them for letters to go to Damascus and to the synagogue. So if he found anybody who was, by the way, who was believing in Jesus, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he was journeying, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined a light upon him, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, well, who are you, Lord? How he serving somebody he don't know? He said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said unto him, I'm Jesus who you persecute. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Look at your neighbor and ask him, are you kicking against the pricks? He said, what does that mean? Are you kicking against what God wants you to do? And see, let me just say this. Here comes Elder Evan. Here you come. If life for you is hard, and I'm not talking about you in a season of hardness. I'm not talking about that, because we all go through some seasons. But if life for you is hard, and the kind of hard I'm talking about, it's so bad that, let's say you mow in your yard. Soon as you mow it and you turn around, it don't grow back again. Golly. If life is that hard for you, watch this, church. Maybe it's because you are transgressing against the direction and the will that God has for your life. Life should not be a consistent hard. Proverbs 13:15 says, good understanding gives favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Maybe it's hard because you're transgressing. So let me finish reading. So Saul was trembling, and he astonished and said, Lord, I want y'all to read this with me. What will you have me to do? What a question. So here's one of the applications. If you want to know God's will for your life, say, Lord, what would you have me to do? But what I don't want you to do is say, Lord, what would you have me to do? But I don't want to do this, though. He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Watch this now. Now let me ask you a question. Who is Saul talking to? He's talking to Jesus. He's not talking to nobody else. He's talking to Jesus. Jesus standing there saying, hey, man, you can't keep kicking against the pricks and all this kind of stuff. And then he says, well, Lord, since we're talking, what you want me to do for you? And then the Lord says, watch this, rise and go to the city, and it's going to be told you what you need to do. That's crazy, because I'm talking to you. That's like you coming to me saying, Pastor Edmund, what day is your birthday? And I say, go ask Landon, he'll tell you. But see, God is putting a principle here that we need to learn, and that is, sometimes we want a direct connect to what God wants us to do, when God also wants us to lean, watch this, on him by trusting him to put sometimes what we need in somebody else to give it to us. So let's see what happened. Let's drop down now to Acts chapter 9, verse 10. And if we're going to want to know what God's will is, we got to be sensitive to doing it his way. So let's see who Jesus sent to him. Acts 9, 10. It says, now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him, this man named Ananias, in a vision saying, Ananias. He says, yes, Lord. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to get on Straight Street. You're on Crooked Street right now. You need to get on Straight Street. He said, get on Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He's praying. Listen, he's praying right now to me. I have shown him in a vision of a man named Ananias coming to lay hands on him. Why didn't Jesus just show Saul what he wanted him to do? He asked him a direct question. Watch what happened though. Ananias said, Lord, I've heard many people talk about what this man done and it's bad. Verse 14. And he is authorized by the leading priests to arrest everybody who calls upon your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, watch what he said. Here are the instructions to Saul. Let me say it this way. This is the will of God to Saul that God is telling somebody else. He said, go, because Saul is my chosen instrument. What is his assignment? What is his will? To take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings as well as the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. So Ananias went. He found Saul. He laid hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you might regain your sight, be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you better believe Ananias told Saul what to do. So church, when it comes to God, he will send what I'm going to call sent others, or you sent others, to tell us his will for our life. Or here's a take-home statement. Here's a take-home statement. What we view as delegated, God views as him initiated. So what do you mean by that? See, if you disdain, you say, well, God going to have to tell me directly. See, watch this now. If we view delegated authority any less than it being God authority, then we will miss his will for our life. So they're going to put a video up because this has happened because I'm a pastor. God gave me his will for somebody else who was working for me. And just like God used Ananias to tell Saul his will, God used me to tell this person his will for their life. So I hope our media department is ready. Go ahead and roll the video.
Hey, Word of Truth. My name is Pastor Che Cowan, and I am the senior pastor of Life Church in Victorville, California. For those of you who don't know me, I used to be an executive pastor at Word of Truth for 13 years. And for that time, God has blessed me. I used to be a senior pastor in Jamaica before that. And then in 2019, I felt the Lord speaking to me right there at Word of Truth. I felt the Lord speaking to me about becoming a senior pastor again. Of course, as soon as I sensed that God was saying that to me, I started praying about it. I spoke with my wife about it. And then I spoke with my pastor, Pastor Eben, about it. And when I spoke with Pastor Eben, I said, Pastor Eben, I need you to pray because I need to know what you're hearing God say to you about me and what I think the Lord is saying to me. And so Pastor Eben met with me and said, Pastor Che, there are some things I want to develop in you to become a senior pastor. And if you would give me 3 years as the executive pastor here, then I will train you to become a senior pastor. Well, I did that. That was November 2019. Of course, everyone knows what happened in 2020, COVID. And let me tell you something. I was never more happy that I didn't start a church than when COVID took place. I'm telling you what. During COVID, though, I learned online church. I learned online small groups. I learned how the whole online thing worked. And God used that to train me and develop me for some of the work that I was eventually going to do. In 2021, January 2021, I'll never forget the day that Pastor Paul, a friend of mine, reached out to me, said, I'm coming to Dallas and I want you to pray with me about getting a senior pastor for my church because I believe God is sending me to help other pastors around the world. And so I called Pastor Evan. I said, Pastor Evan, I need some time off. I need some time off to go pray with my friend Pastor Paul because he's looking for a pastor, a senior pastor for his church. And Pastor Evan said to me, hey, you tell Pastor Paul, even though he didn't ask for my opinion, you are the person to be the senior pastor of his church. I said, oh no, 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 no. You don't understand, Pastor Evan. Pastor Paul's church is in a desert. In a desert. Listen, it's not lush and green. And listen, there ain't no rain up here. I said, no, 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 we ain't doing that. No, Pastor Evan. He said, as much as I know that God has told me to start Word of Truth, I know God is sending you to Life Church in Victorville. I said, oh no. So I called Pastor Paul and I said, Pastor Paul, Pastor Evan's on the line. We gotta talk. So Pastor Evan tells Pastor Paul what he just said. Pastor Paul said, man, my board of directors just asked me last week, are you sure Pastor Che isn't available to be the senior pastor of our church? Man, they start rejoicing. They getting excited. Only one person on the call isn't getting excited. Me. Oh no, I wasn't excited at all. So the next day, Pastor Evan calls me. He says, hey, Pastor Che, tell Samantha everything's gonna be all right. I said, Samantha isn't the problem. He said, so what's the problem? I said, I am the problem. You don't understand, Pastor Evan? I like where I live. I like the schools my kids go to. Mansfield is so nice. It's green. It is beautiful. I like that. He said, oh, you're comfortable. I said, you better believe it, I'm comfortable. He said, listen, man. He said, you can stay in your comfort and get frustrated again one day. Or you can step out in faith and have an adventure with God. Well, word of truth, guess what? I listened to the voice that was in my life that God spoke to me through Pastor Evan, and I stepped out in faith. And can I tell you something? My life has only gone up, up, up. Man, we've come to Life Church here in Victorville, and in 3 years, we have quadrupled the amount of people that come to Life Church has quadrupled. My children are doing well. My daughter is pursuing her acting career. My son is pursuing his independence and working at a church right there in Mansfield. My other daughter is going to school here and loving it. And listen, everything around us, everything about our lives have just gotten better and better and better. And here's why. Here's why. Because sometimes God will speak to you directly, but sometimes God will use another voice, someone else, to speak to you. And if I was going to trust Pastor Evan to speak to me every Sunday in church, if I was going to trust him to speak to me about my marriage, to speak to me about my finances, then I was going to trust him to speak to me about what I felt God was saying to me. I believe God puts people in your life so he can use their voice to lead you in his will. So I just want to say, God bless you. I am so excited that we get to serve together. And I'm glad that I've had a voice in my life that I listened to that God could trust and send my way. God bless you, everybody.
Come on, church. So let's talk very quickly about how to apply the word today. I want you to ask the Lord like Saul did, Lord, what would you have me to do? Number two, the question I want to ask you is, do you read and study God's word every day enough to even discover what his will is for your life? I'm going to encourage you to structure an appointed time every day to do that. Because if you don't make the word priority, it will fall under all the other stuff. Here's number three. This one's tight. How do you view the pastor in your life? Because some of you may be visiting. What's your view? Is your pastor your cheerleader or a God leader? Is their voice in your life optional or necessary? Assess your heart to make sure your heart's straight toward your pastor, because so many people's hearts toward their pastor get off. I used to have Pastor Edmund's cell phone number and his cell phone number changed. Or, you know, I'm not a great text person. I got about 315 unanswered texts in my phone, I promise you. He didn't answer his text. Well, unfortunately, I don't answer too many people's texts. You know, if my mama could text, it'd be real. She said, "Mama, are you?" You know, my mom got that flip phone. Hey, mama. Is your heart straight? What has God said? Listen now, this is for some of you. What has God said to you, and he's confirmed through properly sent others to you that you're not doing right now? What are you waiting on? How many times is God going to have to tell you to do what he's been telling you to do? Well, Pastor, I'm not sure. Is it that you're not sure, or is it because you're scared? There's nothing wrong with being scared. The problem with being scared is when you surrender to the fear. Because some things you got to do scared. That's called, I'm going to lean on faith and ignore this fear, even though you might feel it. But just because you feel it, we don't walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by what? Not by sight. We don't walk by feelings. And so there are some people in the room with every head bowed. There are some people in the room who need to ask the question, Lord, what is your will for my life? And maybe you're one of the people who'd like to know God's will, but you're not saved. Well, you're not going to know his will for your life until you...